cambiarme por nadie. Pues con mis defectos y con mis virtudes siempre supe aceptar.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Well, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS, Medical Lake, Spokane, on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Yes, and I have my pal Matt Danielson in here with me today. I tell you, my brain is working about half speed today. I called poor Dana Dale for some reason, which I've never done before. He doesn't even look like a Dale. I think maybe I've got King of the Hill on the head. But I'm having a hard time forming words and whatnot. So welcome, Matt. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I feel so welcome.
Yeah. Well, you. How are things?
Busy.
Yeah. What's going on with you? Well, let me introduce. Matt Danielson is the executive director of Spokane Pride.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for that. Yes. If you see something that says Pride or Pride event anywhere within, 100 miles, I hopefully have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But we got through the normal Pride season, in June, biggest Pride ever. Lots and lots of different events, and I got about 2 days to have a break, and then we started planning Garland Pride.
Wow. Then you had, wasn't Perry Pride in there too?
Yeah, that was one of them. We did about 7 different prides, I believe.
Wow. So what's the, so you've done pride in some small communities.
Oh yeah.
Recently too. So let's talk about those a little bit before we jump into Garland Pride.
Oh yeah. I'd be happy to. And for context, that is literally one of my favorite things about doing this job is that we have expanded Spokane Pride's mission and role to basically help any community wanting to start their own Pride event in whatever capacity. This year we visited Bonner's Ferry, Libby, Montana, wow. Sandpoint. I'm hoping to help out in Lewiston, Idaho. Wallace, unfortunately, couldn't have their Pride event this year. I'm still hoping, still holding out some hope to do one in Republic in September.
Oh, cool.
And we did Sandpoint. Did I say Sandpoint? We helped with them, although that one was quite big. That was lovely.
Yeah, Sandpoint's a cool place. What? So when you go up to Bonner's Ferry, which I love Bonner's Ferry, but what's that like to go? I mean, you're kind of in the middle of Trump country up there.
There's literally a sign that says, welcome to Trump country.
Yes. And God's guns, child pedophilia.
I believe it says whatever. Family, God, and guns.
Okay, sorry. I thought it said something about Jeffrey Epstein.
Who knows? I'm not going to say neither here nor there. But it's always a little bit anxiety provoking at first, but then you get to the Pearl Theater, just this lovely, welcoming place, and then their community starts showing up. And it's not a huge group, but you get 30 or 50 locals who are there to celebrate love and acceptance for all, and do a queer little dance party, and it's kind of one of the more beautiful things you'll ever see.
I bet.
I had my my twin brother who's straight, and he came.
Is he an identical twin?
Oh no, we don't look anything alike.
Okay.
No, he came and was like, oh my God. And him and my husband were both there, just kind of flies on the wall because they're a little bit mystified by this part of my life.
Yes.
But I was DJing and leading conga lines and doing all that stuff.
Where did that take place?
In the Pearl Theater.
Still at the theater.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Most of all the Bonner's Ferry stuff, it takes place. And it's kind of a small church type feel, but it's a nonprofit theater.
Okay.
And yeah, if you're ever in the area, they do wonderful programming year round.
Okay.
And support them a lot.
Well, did you find you had a lot of allies there too, or was it?
Yeah, honestly, a lot of the people showing up were allies or, somewhere on the queer spectrum, but not like, you know, specifically like a gay man or a trans person or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, lovely little community. And they just, you can tell they just appreciate it so much.
It's got to be such a lovely, just sort of like a highlight of the year, I would think, for them. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the Pearl's great too, because they do some kind of pride oriented. They actually backed off a little bit on their pride. So instead of doing it all in one weekend, like last year, they, yeah, did like a pride karaoke one week and then a pride dance party.
Oh,
and
cool.
That did all sorts of different things set to kind of spread it out for a combination to try and keep the heat off from some of the protesters, because we did get a lot of protesters last year.
Dude, how about this year?
We didn't get any because it was just, I think they advertised it as like Pride Through the Years or something, as kind of like a classic, classic dance party too.
Yeah.
So it was, I think the people that you wanted to know that it was Pride knew it was Pride, and the people that you didn't want to know didn't know it was Pride.
Oh, that's good. That's the way to do it.
So yeah, it was still pretty beautiful.
How was Libby, Montana?
I actually didn't get to go to this one this year, but I hear it was glorious.
Okay.
I had my, our board president and my main tech crew go up there.
Very cool.
Because they asked for that sort of support. And they had lots of bands and drag performances. And it's always so nice. The guys that put that one of them's from Spokane. And then they own a hotel there. And they put everybody up in this wonderful little boutique hotel right in downtown. And it's just... And we have a party the night before. It's just so, it's so fun.
Sounds really cool. Is Spokane the only place that has a parade?
Missoula has a parade.
But I mean that you got involved in. Did
yeah,
you have to worry?
No, actually there's not that many parades in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Obviously Boise has a parade, Missoula. That's pretty much it from what I know. Because parades are their own type of logistical nightmare.
Yeah, I was going to say. So this year's Pride Parade, I mean, as being a person that's sort of looking in there, but not really part of the mechanics of it, how did it go for you?
How'd it go for you?
Spokane. It went good for me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think it was great. I mean, we got, you know, it's like it was right in the nick of time, like these things, but the broadcasting went well.
Good.
We got a shelter over us.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, everything was really good.
Yeah, no, it was...
They showed up one time, they had like, I think they had a power supply and speakers, and I go, no, I've got that, I need the shelter, and I need the chairs, and they're like, and a table. They said, well, we heard you just had the shelter and the table and the chairs. I said, no. But they came back and they had all the stuff. So
yeah, no, I remember visiting out there at one point on my bike and being like, oh, we need, okay, got it. Okay.
And the parade launched the career of Selkirk the Cat.
Oh, and we're going to keep Selkirk hard at work because Selkirk is our pride cat and the pride of Spokane.
Yeah, I truly. And then, you know, then we had a little fire department. Blow up
kerfuffle,
which was to me was really bizarre because the person who wrote that, I know him. We went through paramedic school together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get along good. I felt like he's a friend, but it was obvious the engine just didn't. They just didn't go there. You just don't do that. They were assigned to go to the parade. So he wrote this email, which got published, that basically contradicted what his superiors told him to do, to send an engine to the parade. And then he said that was a bad idea later on, you know, and it's like, man, I don't know what's wrong with you. This is not good. Why are you doing this? Because really you are undermining the authority of your superiors by saying this.
I mean, you're much more up on the command hierarchy of the fire department, but yeah, it seemed pretty silly from where I was sitting.
Yeah.
Especially like we've had the fire department proudly in our parade for many years now.
Yeah, and this year was no different.
I remember when it was first starting and I was talking to Brian Schaefer on the phone and I was like, let's put a fire truck in the parade. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, that was before I was out even.
Yeah. And it's like, it just seems... splitting hairs doesn't even like put it adequately.
Well, and then Selkirk, of course, that cap belongs to my firefighter.
Got a little bit of attention. Oh, who's the who Brian or Joanna?
Joanna. Oh, okay. Joanna was my she was my last crew that I had, my last firefighter assigned to my crew.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, and Joanna, I keep in touch with her a lot still. But I mean, it was such a good thing for the fire department. They've got a mascot. They've got this thing now, the Selkirk mm-hmm. the cat, but there's, you know, they want one person having a bad day, I think.
You have this PR miracle.
Yes.
And then you're going to kind of like make a stink about it.
You're going to just turn it around. It's like
I joked to one of my board members. I'm like, do you know how many tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people know how to pronounce Spokane now correctly yeah. instead of Spokane?
Yeah.
Like this was more attention than the city has potentially ever gotten.
Yeah.
Because that went worldwide, viral. I mean, I like to joke that it got more attention than a certain other parade that day.
Well, it was funny because, yes, it was funny because I was doing the announcing and then Brian, I think, pushed the cat out, as Joanna's husband, mm-hmm. pushed the cat out the window. And I just saw everybody erupt around me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's Selkirk the cat. And then from then on, it was on. They showed it to the cat to everybody as they were going through. And it was just, you could, the videos, it's funny because you can hear everybody's loud. But then when the cat pops out of the back of the engine, which incidentally, they've gone on to other fire departments now and have been invited to do this in other fire departments too. So
yeah, they texted me trying to get contact with all the different pride parades.
Yes.
And I was happy to avail them. But yes, I do think that caught like, kind of what makes our pride magical, because I've been to a lot of prides. I've never seen, I feel like ours is like the reactivity. Like people are so focused on what's happening. Yeah. Like you see that video, the moment that cat exits the window,
yeah, it breaks it's, that flame. It, yeah.
It's not just a little bit of screaming. It is just wild amounts of yeah. just like people are so into it. And and that's kind of initially why I fell in love with the event, I think, because I really got into it emceeing and I'm like, I'm not even that great of MC. I've hosted karaoke, but like, that's different but everybody's so happy to be there. Everybody's so responsive. You scream happy pride yeah. and it's just like this most wonderful, like 1,000 people screaming back happy pride at you and just
yeah.
having that much, being just enveloped in that much joy is just, it's well, so beautiful.
I know
beautiful.
People probably get here tired of us saying, but I should rename it the Kindness Festival.
Yes.
Because it's just families, everybody having a great time. And of course, that was right on the heels of the No Kings protest was right on the heels of that. So that drew extra people. How many, any guesstimates on size?
It depends on how you look at it. I did get some cell phone ping data, and I will tell you, just from that, it was by far the largest event that, I mean, it's probably it's potentially the largest single day event that Spokane has had.
Wow.
Like we had so many people down there.
Like 40,000 or something or 30,000.
I would say a lot more than that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll talk. I have to kind of be careful how yeah. I talk about it because like, it's hard to get exact numbers.
Right.
But I would say safely around 60.
Wow, 60,000 people. That's incredible. And it was, it was a beautiful day. So let's talk a little bit about Garland Pride. We'll make sure we hit that because we got about 5 minutes. We got a break. But we'll talk about the Garland Pride. And then I want to kind of circle back and talk about maybe some things you might have learned from this last minute. So tell me about the Garland Pride Festival.
So this is the second time we've ever done it. Last year, it was kind of becoming a thing. One of the Garland Drinkery really wanted to do something, and they filled out a permit to close down the street in May. And then I came to them after Pride, and there wasn't a whole lot of... I just basically was like, hey, do you want some help? And that kind of ended up with Spokane Pride taking over the vendor management and entertainment and all the logistics, because that's kind of what we do. So, and they're, the people doing it are friends of mine. So I was like, hey, do you just want me to do this? And so, yeah, we had, we closed down Lincoln Street, put a stage at the end of it by Garland.
Okay.
And we put a bunch of vendors in the Little Noodle parking lot 2 blocks down the road. So the Little Noodle was generous enough to give us their parking lot. We put another little stage down there.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I could not believe how many people showed up. We had to have had like 3,000-4,000, maybe even 5,000. I know at one point I stood on the stage and looked down Lincoln and the entire block was full of people. And that's a double block right there. Like it just, so it, and it's a Wizard of Oz themed because we really, yeah, we're celebrating love and, you know, and
wasn't that what it was themed last year too?
Yeah. It's okay. Garland.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Judy Garland. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And the Garland, and honestly, I do kind of see this as not a replacement, but maybe in the same vein as the Garland Street Fair, which was,
yeah, also, I was going to ask you about that. So what, so it's the Garland Street Fair is no more basically, or
yeah, that went defunct in 2018 for a variety of reasons. Actually, I learned a lot about it talking to,
That's good.
I ended up getting connected with the last organizer of it. Somebody who's very involved down there. Cause, she is the one that does all of the, helped organize all the mural art. Have you been in that alley?
I haven't been there in
You haven't
a while.
Been in the alley?
A while. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's so many cool murals. I live near there. So if I like have to, if I want to go on a walk and kind of show off the neighborhood, I don't go to the front of Garland. I take them around the back. And
oh, cool.
There's just like, there's got to be like 40 of them, but like different pieces of art on fences, on walls,
very
just
cool.
Everywhere. So I thought it'd be fun since this is all about pride and pride in your neighborhood and, you know, yay art. Like let's do alley art tours. So we're having alley art tours leaving from the Garland Marquee at the top of every hour between 4 and 9 p.m.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And we're going to have, I think, 3 different murals being painted live.
Oh, cool.
So we really want to, and you know, the long-term goal of that business district is to be another arts district.
Yeah.
So we're doing what we can to try and, you know, help promote that as well, because we just want to build up the culture of our community and just, you know,
it's such a unique place in that it has so many, I think there's a brewery there now, right?
Yeah. And Garland Brew Works.
Yeah.
It's their 4th anniversary this weekend.
They're right next to, Giant Nerd Books and across the street from Time Bomb. And there's just so many great little record stores, and it's you know, when I was a kid, I loved to go to the Garland Theater or Garland Avenue because they had Novelty Nook was there, and Novelty Nook was a place where you could buy magic tricks and prank things like rubber vomit or flies and ice cubes that you could put in people's drinks, things like that.
Nice.
And so that was right up my alley.
Nice.
Yeah. But so, yeah. So I think people just going down, is there going to be sort of like a community organizers setting up booths and stuff there too?
Yeah. We had 35 vendors last year. This year we have 70. So
wow. Twice as many.
Yeah. Well, we have 3 more parking lots we're in.
Okay.
And because we don't, and then we're hopefully shutting down a section of Garland Street as well, which has been, oh my gosh, kind of a headache. But yeah, we're gonna set up some vendors in front of the Garland Theater, and then we're gonna have vendors all the way down the street on Lincoln Street.
Okay.
And that's probably our biggest stage right there. And then there's the parking lot by the American Cancer Society thrift store there on Post and Garland. We're going to be setting up a bunch of vendors there and having some live bands. Oh, that's our live band stage.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the Little Noodle parking lot will have open drag and karaoke all afternoon because I figured like karaoke is basically like showing up and doing drag in a way too.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Let's do them together. If you want to dance, you can dance. If you want to sing, you can sing. If you want to do both,
that's a good
you
fit.
You can do both. And so that'll be fun. And then in the parking lot of the Cornerstone Physical Therapy, just down the block from there by Revolver, we're also going to have a bunch of vendors and another stage with a bunch of queer comedians and some drag and another little band. And then down at the Brewworks, it's their fourth anniversary. So I approached them and we're like, hey, we're so proud that it's your fourth anniversary. Let's make this part of Pride. And they were more than happy to avail. They brewed a Pride beer. So they're going to have a special Pride beer. And so we're basically spanning five blocks.
Wow. That's going to be amazing. Hopefully. You know, I always think that people sometimes, you know, it's hard to know what's going on here as far as activism in Spokane, but these festivals are always just a really great place to touch base with organizations that are doing things, you know, in the face of the current political climate, that people can touch base and meet people. And I think that's really cool.
Well, and, you know, attending a Pride, spreading love, that's its own form of activism. Like,
it truly is.
Building up a positive message for our community. Activism isn't just like shouting about what we don't want. It's about building each other up and building up our community institutions and the ways we are together. And that's what Pride's about.
Yeah.
Like we, you know, because if we can be together as a community and spread joy, we can, we can stand up and network anything. We can do anything.
Yeah.
And I am encouraging, if they have any protest at BA Clark Park that day, I'm like, hey, come take a break.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And considering the comments I've been seeing on our social media, Pride is still kind of a protest because very controversial, apparently.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. We got some straight up like veiled death threats on our Facebook. I'm like, really?
You know, it's just so cowardly.
It's like, yeah, first of all, cowardly, but second of all, like, do we need to talk about what's going on with you if you're this threatened over this Wizard of Oz themed Pride poster?
Yeah.
And I don't even think you're from here. So,
yeah. And is you're using your mom's basement for this to spread this kind of hate too? I mean, come on.
Probably.
Your mom deserves better than that.
I agree on behalf of the haters' moms.
All right, I'm going to play some a little bit of music while I load up our 20-minute after the hour things I got to play, Matt. So I'll be right back here.
Mm-hmm. That's somebody playing the piano. Yeah.
When I was a little boy. Devil called my name.
When I was just a boy.
Say now, who do? Who do you think you're fooling?
When I was just a boy.
I'm a consecrated boy.
When I was just a boy.
Singer in a Sunday choir. Oh, my mama loves me. She loves me. She get down on her knees and hug me. Boy, she loves me like a rock. She rocks me like a rock. I was grown to be a man, and the devil would call my name. I say now, who do you think you're fooling? I'm a consummated man, statue of purity. My mama loves me, she loves me. If I was the president, the minute the Congress called my name, I say now, who do you think you're fooling? I got the presidential seal, I'm up on the presidential podium. My mama loves me, she loves me.
Love me like a rock.
Unitarian Universalist Church of Spokane. Support for Out and About comes from Eastern Washington University Running Start, where high school students can earn tuition-free credit before graduating. Applications at ewu.edu/runningstart. Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Support for Out and About comes from the nonprofit Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture in Spokane. Now presenting Preston Singletary, Raven and the Box of Daylight, bringing the Tlingit creation story to life. And Fire, Rebirth and Resilience, exploring our region's major fires from the Great Fire of 1889 to today. More information at northwestmuseum.org. Support for Out and About comes from the nonprofit Unitarian Universalist Church of Spokane, a liberal religious community supporting ideals of social justice, environmental stewardship, and freedom of thought for persons of all ages, races, ethnicities, and sexual preferences. The church offers two Sunday services as well as children and youth programs. Information is at uuspokane.org or by calling 509-325-6383.
You like local music? I want you to tune in every Tuesday, 2 to 4 on KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio. If you haven't heard what Spokane's local music scene is all about, you're missing out. Join me on Tuesdays, 2 to 4.
U.S. citizens wishing to contact their representatives in Congress about legislative issues can visit www.house.gov. Click the representatives link for a state-by-state directory that provides web links and current contact information.
All right, we are back. That was a slew of messages. Thank you for sitting through those. And I'm your host, Maeve, and I am talking to Matt Danielson, Executive Director of Spokane Pride, and we're talking about Garland Pride coming up. So, and that's going to be this Saturday. What are the hours of that?
Well, the main vending hours are 4 to 9.
Okay.
We are encouraging people to come by a little earlier to enjoy the retail experience of the brick and mortar businesses,
have
lunch. They're doing Wizard of Oz, the film, at the Garland Theater
at
2 p.m. So the concept kind of is come down and go to the Wizard of Oz, like the old Garland Street Fair.
Yeah.
You come into the theater with the block looking pretty normal, and then you come out. And suddenly you're in the middle of a vendor fair. Everything has changed.
Whoa, just like the Wizard of Oz. Yeah, you walk in, it's black and white. You come out and everything's in color.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be rainbows everywhere. I'm going to go from my short shorts to my little blue plaid skirt with my Dorothy wig.
Yeah, your gingham skirt was just lovely.
Oh, it's going to be even better. I got rhinestoned on it. And
what? Did you get some ruby slippers yet?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Man.
So instead of the executive director of Spokane Pride, I'm going to be running around as Dorothy.
Oh, I should show up in green makeup.
But you're not going to be there.
I know.
Don't tell anybody. They might not show up. Maeve will definitely
be there. I'm going to be there in spirit.
Yeah, you definitely will.
You know, that's the problem about summer stuff. I mean, it's a good thing about summer stuff, but it's also the bad thing. There's something going on all the time, you know.
Yeah,
but I mean, you really wouldn't want to have a street fair in February, I don't think.
Correct. I know that day in particular is pretty messy because there's unity in the community that day as well.
Oh.
And but that's in the morning.
Okay.
And only, I think it only goes to like 1, maybe 2.
Oh, perfect. Go to that.
So that's
go
why
to the movie.
I'm like, yeah, I moved Garland Pride a little later. Who wants to be out at 2 o'clock in August anywhere.
Yeah.
Although the weather does look fantastic.
It does. It looks like it's going to be not too hot.
Not too hot. 20% chance of rain, which honestly.
Oh, that would feel good.
Rain in August. I'm sorry. That doesn't even scare me. I see rain on the weather report in June and I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
That would be a lot of rain. This year we haven't even had like really thunderstorms this year.
We almost had one, but I even went on a walk to try and see lightning, but it didn't quite out on our lovely South Hill trails.
Yeah.
But we haven't had any good storms yet.
Yeah. It's been pretty, pretty sparse. Yeah. So that sounds like a good time. I mean, you could do Unity in the Community, go to the movie, come out, and then hang out there. And there's so many good places to eat there.
Oh, yeah. And so I think we're going to do a pub crawl as well. And also, if you can make it all day, this is going to be like a 14, 15-hour day. But they're doing Rocky Horror at midnight at Garland.
No. Oh, wow.
You know, that goes... that thematically also fits pretty well into Pride.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds good. So this is the second year.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you learn from last year doing Garland Pride?
Learned that it would work. I mean, I was so afraid last year, just nobody would show up. But I mean, I've kind of been feeling like it's kind of seems like in our community, we kind of thirst for connection and wanting to be together. And it almost seems like if you build it, it will come. They will come. And like it, yeah, I could not believe how many people came last year. And I'm hoping we can just build on that success this year, especially we are going so much farther out there as far as like the infrastructure and like what we're preparing for and the amount of everything we're having. I mean, we have five stages. I mean, well, okay, four stages, but like actually if you count the Brew Works, six different areas of programming. From the Garland doing like a lot of like kids oriented stuff, some story time, to our Wizard of Oz drag show on the Lincoln stage, to, you know, the karaoke open drag, to basically drag comedy, to little bands. I hear you had a nephew performing.
Yes, my nephew is performing.
Which band?
Green Warriors.
Green Warriors.
I want to help them make a music video. I want to be in a music video with them. I love their music. It's right up. Their music is right up my alley. Put it that way.
That's nice.
Yeah. How about this year? How about the big Pride Festival? What kind of things did you find? Kind of walk away and saying, "Oh, we need to change this."
Honestly, not a whole lot because we did quite fantastically well considering how. Just the magnitude of the thing and that our organization only has one employee.
Yeah.
And we had like 240 vendors all over Riverfront Park. I mean, if you think about the actual footprint of the event, it's like over a mile long.
Wow.
At certain points. I just have to sit back sometimes and be like, wow, they leave me in charge of this. This is, I'm good at making drinks and, you know, small talk, but but fortunately bartending is actually incredible preparation for kind of being a community organizer.
I would imagine multitasking.
Well, and just like being in the community and just knowing, like, it's not like there's such a huge amount of the queer community that it's like, oh, it's not just like I have your email. It's like, oh. Like you, like,
yeah,
I've been getting you drinks for years. I remember your coming out party at 9 because I bartended for that.
Right, yes.
That was beautiful. And like, you know, just that as an example, like I feel like I'm just more deeply connected to more people in the community because of my time bartending.
Yeah. And people know you on a lot of different levels.
Yeah. So it's just a really beautiful position to be in, but then kind of very stressful during Pride season to just be kind of at the center of the storm.
Yeah. Well, and I think you talked about a little bit about maybe moving where the vendors are going to be, or the food vendor trucks.
We definitely have to make some changes there because I don't know if anybody saw, if anybody entered the park from the parade last year, I believe that orange bridge as you cross, like,
yeah.
It's usually pretty busy, but it was standing room only from And for this festival doesn't even start till 1, mind you.
Yeah.
From 11:30 a.m. to like 3:30, almost 4 o'clock, you could not get across that bridge.
I know. Yeah.
So it's like, and the unfortunate thing is every single vendor in the world wants to be on that bridge because it's the choke point where right. everything becomes
everybody
a thing.
Has to go through it.
And I'm next year, I'm just going to have to tell everybody, food vendor, regular vendor, whoever.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're not going to be on the bridge. Like, that bridge needs to be clear. We're going to have to either sacrifice some income to we're going to have to figure it out.
Like, yeah.
And if we have to sacrifice income just to keep things safe, it is what it is. Safety and first.
This year, really, because we lost a lot of corporate sponsorship because of the...
it was because of lots of things.
Because of the fascist crackdown, mm-hmm. basically. But you had like the Spokane Episcopal Church stepped up.
Oh, it was the most beautiful thing to watch yeah. because April, I spent all of April just losing sponsor after sponsor, yeah. even not just sponsors that like, you know, hadn't committed for that year. Several of them had committed already in January, February, March, and then suddenly in April they were gone, wow. which led me to believe it was less to do with the DEI, the issues they might've had with DEI. It was more about, you know, marketing budgets and tariffs.
Oh, economy
tanking. And the economy, because, you know, yeah. certain people have been really throwing a lot of uncertainty into the economy.
Yes.
And marketing budgets don't do great with uncertainty.
No, nobody, no economy does in any kind of level.
So, yeah, April was just an ongoing panic attack. And then late April, early May, it just like, it was the most beautiful thing to watch. I mean, first yeah. the Episcopal Diocese just sent us a huge donation. And I was like, this is a sponsorship. We need to promote this. We need yeah. to. And then Gonzaga jumps in too, as like, wow. I think they were our second or third largest sponsor. So two of our three largest sponsors were like explicitly religious, like Christian organizations.
Yes.
Which for the recovering Christian and me was really good for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And especially they're putting their money where their mouth is. I think like, you know, these are the followers of Christ, not the people standing there with the God hates the,
yeah,
you know, signs. It's, you know, the protesters aren't really in touch with the love that I think Jesus would be about. I think Jesus would be in the Pride Parade, not next to it with a sign.
No. Yeah. No, that's, there's an author that I really, or he's a comedian actually, and listen to his show quite often. Tell Me Everything with John Fugel saying, and he's coming out with a book called Separation of Church and Hate. And it's basically talking about, you know, like, well, if you're going to be a real, truly a Christ follower, a very different thing than the people, Americans who are calling themselves Christians right now and the ones who are hating on people. So I think that's kind of a theme that people are starting to wake up to. And I think there's a lot of people angry when they see the news and they say, people are opposing this or opposing that because they're Christians, when it's in fact, well, they're something, but they're not opposing that because they're Christians. They're opposing that because they have a whole different religion than what actually Christianity is.
Yeah,
they should come up with a new name for
it. I know. I was trying, like, Old Testimonial. Yeah. Like, what do we call them?
Yeah, it's a tough one because, you know, but even then, well, I mean, you're mixing your fabrics. So you really aren't following Leviticus like you think you are. No, look, you're eating shellfish. So, I mean, you know, abalone, you're just being shellfish. Get it?
Yeah. Well, they've never been great on philosophical consistency.
No.
Especially these days. Oh, yeah. My gosh. I feel like it's like the amount of saying one thing like, oh, yeah, we're here for freedom, but we actually want to limit your personal autonomy and freedom to be who you are.
Well, just the short memory and attention span, a Trump calling in the National Guard to police Washington, D.C. And he says that's totally within his powers to do that. And it is. However, when he was leading the insurrection of people destroying, beating up on police officers and whatnot, having people do that, he said it was not within his power to call in the National Guard. And so yeah. It's like, well, You know, it's, I guess that's a small thing for a guy who can't open up his mouth without lying, and people who don't care about that. So anyway.
Well, and a lot of it's him just getting people to do things on his behalf without even him having to ask. Actually, remind me as we're walking out of here, I'm not going to tell you the story on air, but Pride was more interesting than you know.
Oh, okay. Well, good. We'll have to hear about that. Were there very many, were there protests at all for Pride this year?
I mean.
Oh, okay. No, is that what we were going to talk about later?
Yeah, we were going to obliquely talk about it. But yeah, we did have the No Kings that day. And it did kind of share the park somewhat.
Yeah. But I mean, like, were there protests against Pride?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was, I mean, there always is. They sit out there on the corner of Howard and Spokane Falls, and they just sit there with their signs and their bullhorns. And we, fortunately, we had like 60 angels. So only, we had too many angels.
And oh, what a problem.
It was a problem. Yeah. But then we put some of them in the.
There was one right now.
No, that was a phone call that I really need to take, but I'm not going to because I'm on the radio.
You are on the radio.
Yeah, priorities.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we always have the protesters. We have the PJammers that go out there, make some noise, the angel that covers them, and then the de-escalation trained volunteers from PJALs that kind of help take care of everything else. We also have the large PD presence. All of our volunteers are briefed on like what to do. If you see something, say something, and you know, just always de-escalate. But yeah, no, overwhelmingly, especially with the little ripple of it being No Kings Day too. It was overwhelmingly peaceful and joyful, and it was just great.
I don't have that much to do for Pride. I've got to do the broadcasting, and this year I spoke at the No Kings thing, but I'm always. And you might not feel this because you have so much work to do, but I think there's so many of us that just go to bed buzzed, feeling so good, so much positive energy, so many lovely people just having a great time in a very, I'd say in a very wholesome way, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but the flip side of that is the next day you feel a little bit let down, you know, like, oh, that was such a great day. I have to wait another year for that.
This is why we're doing Garland Pride.
Right. Is there something, you know, how do we, well, first of all, back up a little bit. How has the mood of the community evolved? I mean, you talk to so many people, and I know you're not bartending anymore, but, you know, you still are out there and you're talking to people in the LGBTQ plus community. Has the mood gotten better? Have we just kind of gotten used to the onslaught of this administration?
I think I wouldn't say we've gotten used to it. Well, I guess we have in a way, but it's more like the election caused there to be a tremendous amount of energy that people just want to do something.
Yeah.
And I feel that is explicitly part of my job is to give people something to do with that energy.
Right.
I mean, for example, it always takes over 100, you know, maybe even 200 volunteers for Pride. We had 300 volunteers.
Wow.
I mean, it was a small queer army. It was just wild. And I think, and we've been starting new groups, new committees. Like, I think we just need to figure out areas to get that energy out there and be a community, kind of like what I was talking about. I think off air it was, but
yeah, you were. So let's talk about that a little bit on air.
But I think part of where I see Spokane Pride's place and where we need to go as a community is building different groups, different events, different like institutions in our community that we can be connected to, because I feel like the last 20 years with social media and just the onslaught of everything. It's just like really driven us farther apart, and we don't people in person very much.
No.
And it's like we've forgotten how somewhat.
Yeah.
And we need to figure out how to do this. We need to support our local, you know, bars that are really good to our queer community. We need to like gather in person and and that's part of the goal with Pride. Like, how do we figure that out? That's why I'm drowning in work for this weekend to try.
Yeah, that's going to be wonderful. Maybe something will get, you know, I always feel like these things, when they have sort of a organic beginning to them, you know, mm-hmm. and start out small, I just think it's so amazing. You know, we've lost so much because of COVID too.
Yeah.
You know, so many of the in-person gatherings. But before that, we were kind of on that track anyways. You know, I can look down. I remember the Fraternal Order of Eagles, which I was a member of at one point.
Oh, of course you were.
Yes. And then there was, you know, there was the Moose Lodge. Uh-huh. There's the Masonic Temple. There's Brotherhood of Friends. There are all these lodges in Spokane. And people would go to them and they would have a good time and they would... maybe play cards or whatever. And then they would also do works among the community, like the Lions mm-hmm. Club or, you know, the Optimist Club.
And that's, I think that's what we need, especially in the queer community, but all over. I'm really, really involved in the, you know, gay community of Spokane. So I see the void there more than anything else, but I assume it's all communities. We're just a lot less connected. We don't know our neighbors. We don't know. And how can we use Pride? How can we use these nonprofit organizations? How can we use all this energy that is in our community right now to, you know, to create these systems, these institutions, and, you know, put a rainbow fist in the air and stand up as a community to say, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to capitulate to national pressure, and we're going to be accepting, and we're going to be Spokane.
Right. And I also think there's a service component to that too, that we could, we could be doing, you know, I just think that, you know, you have, there are definitely folks within the community, especially the trans community, I feel like that, want to just hide out, you know, and they just want to put their head down and weather the storm. And I get that. Everybody wants to be safe. But there's also, that's not really living either, you know? Yeah. I mean, to be able to be engaged and active in the world and doing things for other people and making things happen for everybody, not just the LGBTQ community, but everybody, to be that person, part of that, there's a selfish thing to that, that does make us, we get to show our brothers and sisters who aren't queer out in the community that we are part of their community and we're doing things for them. And maybe when it comes time to vote, maybe when it comes time to put us on the train to the concentration camp, they might say, well, wait a minute, this person did this for me, which really, honestly, in Germany, it's so depressing because people had great neighbors who were Jews and they still just waved goodbye to them on the train. So it's really hard for people to step up, but also it's just right to do the right thing more than any kind of political gains you get from that and being involved with people and making Spokane a better community for everybody.
No, that's tough. And I mean, that's why we do Pride. Like going into Garland Pride last year, we had some pushback from some of the neighborhood businesses. Then we brought 4,000 people in and I didn't hear any complaints after that.
I bet.
And, you know, it's unfortunately a little bit cynical, but money talks in these cases.
Yeah.
And if you can, and that's what I want to do with Pride, is how can we build up not just the queer community, but the entire community? How can we make Pride a bridge to, you know, the Christians, the people that you know, just wouldn't normally attend? And that's why I think Garland Pride especially is important. Like, engage the local community there, the friends, the neighbors, and just like show universal love and acceptance for all and just, you know, be together.
Yeah, I went up to the Episcopal booth at mm-hmm. Pride and I thanked them profusely for what they did.
I think you were, because you were there at the rally, you were speaking. So I think the most beautiful part of Pride for me was I asked the bishop to speak and she was generous enough to, I did not think she was going to go for it.
Yeah. She went up there and spoke.
And I forget exactly what I said, but I was like, this is really good for the person that grew up fundamentalist Christian, hating myself in a small town, and just this entire situation, introducing her, giving her a hug, and then her speaking of just universal love and peace and like, you know, what the hell is happening in this country right now. It was so beautiful. Like, I can't even put into words.
Yeah, people have definitely sacrificed. I don't get it, because they've sacrificed a lot of their credibility and their souls and their just, I think their parents would be ashamed of them for the people that they've become.
Seems like their past selves should be ashamed for them.
Yeah. And 20 years ago, they wouldn't have done this. There's something bad that happened. And I don't want to get into voodoo, you know, any kind of spiritual stuff too much, but there is some dark force that's working on people right now. And
it's like this collective fear.
Yeah. And I think that's the best thing we can do, is put a smile on our face and go to work and do all these good things for people.
Yeah. That's how I see, like, because Pride doesn't do a lot of direct advocacy or like direct service. What we do is joy. We bring we're not like, yeah, you know, Odyssey working directly with queer youth. We're the overarching rainbow trying to bring everybody together in one spirit and just, you know, do these awesome community events.
Yeah. And that, like I said, I think if people, I try to talk to my siblings about going to the Pride parade, but they won't go, because I think, I don't know, I think part of it's a political thing. Well, actually, one, my sister Julie went, but I think I just want them to go and see what a good feeling it is to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, they think people are afraid that, you know, a drag queen's going to read them a story or something. I don't know what, but it's like, it's just such a nice time, and you just really wish you could share that, not to convince them of anything or change their mind about anything, but just to show them, just to make them feel good. And I just think that Pride does do a service for all of Spokane. Yes, there is a monetary aspect of all these people coming into town and all these vendors selling things and the restaurants and all that going on, hotels. I get that. But I think that it's a bigger thing, that it just is a good, it's spiritual thing for people to be there and to be touched by this magic. Good energy.
It's magic.
Yeah.
Like the amount of people that told me that this year was just magical, the feeling of it, just with Pride going so beautifully and then it being, you know, like next to that protest, and it just like the energy was just so, so good. I had people that had not been to Pride who have been in our community that should have been going to Pride, in my opinion, but that's my opinion. Right. And they come for the first time in years and just like unsolicited, just like message me or email me just about what it, like, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if I believe in magic, but I think, you know, seeing a community come together like that is about as close as we can get.
Well, yeah, I think it's a really good, I think there's a dark force out there, and I think this is a very good force that is, that touches people. And a lot of that is just peaceful people having a good time. And yeah, and I think we could use more of that. You know, it's always kind of the flip side of these folks that seek to make their mark by hurting other people or destroying institutions like this current administration, is that it really makes people become more active and seek out to fight things. And I mean, you see people who are good law abiding citizens standing up against the ICE people. You see people who have never been in trouble with the so-called law going against lawless, well, Nazis. You know, I mean, and so it's something that energizes people. My only worry is, you know, when we give a little bit and we just say, well, that's how it is right now, you know, that's how it's going to be, that it's really easy as human beings. We adapt to things really quickly.
Yeah.
And it kills you on the inside, but you may not notice it until you're drinking too much or maybe doing drugs too much or whatever, that this spiritual thing has killed you or is killing you, because you're getting used to something really awful. And that's what I think is good about Pride too, is it makes this is the norm. This should be the norm. We're happy and we're doing fun things together.
No, I mean, I know it's a little bit crazy to think in these terms, but I consider pride my work, the work of all other community organizers like myself. This is a generational project. I think in 30, 50, 100 years, I'm hoping, my dream is that every community, everyone, no matter how small, will have a pride.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be explicitly about queer rights, because hopefully we won't need to fight for that.
Yeah, maybe we'll morph into something else.
It'll be about celebrating your community and universal love, and like building up anybody that's, you know, downtrodden in our world, and like peace and love, and just like,
well, and I think also at the root of that too is that telling a truth that is uncomfortable to tell, that makes it uncomfortable, you know, for a lot of people, was uncomfortable for me to tell, but it was truth. And I think that there's something that, you know, the truth shall set you free. And I think that, that when you tell the truth for the right reasons, that I think that that has a ripple effect of goodness too.
Well, and sometimes it's uncomfortable to tell the truth, because that's telling our collective, our community, that we can and should be better. And that's what pride is about a lot too, like trying to push us in that direction. So,
well, it's time to go. Why don't you plug that Garland Pride one more time? Would you, Matt?
I will. So we have Garland Pride coming up this weekend, Saturday from 4 to 9 p.m. We will have alley art tours. That's what I'm very, very excited for. We'll have many, many drag performers. We'll have several bands. We're going to be in five different stages all up and down the Garland Street business district between Monroe and Howard. And yeah, come out. It's going to be pretty fantastic. There's a pub crawl, Rocky Horror Picture at midnight, just all sorts of wonderful stuff happening.
All right. Thanks, Matt. And everyone, you are listening to KYRS, Medical Lake, Spokane. And thanks for listening. And I'll see you next week.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Trump's political fundraising sack charges $1 million or more just to buy access to his golden throne. Once there, everything is for sale. One cryptocurrency huckster, for example, delivered his million to get into a candlelight dinner at Mar-a-Lago, where he pitched a business deal to Trump himself. Then, for an extra $200,000, the crypto guy was allowed to sponsor the annual Easter egg roll on the White House lawn. Yes, they've even financialized and corporatized an apolitical, publicly funded event for children. Not only is Trump being bought by big money, but he's also available for short-term lease. For example, rich businesswoman Elizabeth Fago leased him in April for some heavy lifting on a household chore. Her son Paul had been found guilty last year of tax crimes and was headed to prison. But a million-dollar check to MAGA Inc. put her in direct touch with Mr. Fix-It. Sure enough, once her check was cashed, the fortunate son was granted a, quote, full and unconditional presidential pardon. No jail time, no payment for restitution to his victims. This is Jim Hightower saying, when the New York Times asked about such corrupt selling of official favors, MAGA Inc. declared that Trump treats every American the same. So there you have Trump's million-dollar definition of American. If you've got the million, you're in the club. If you don't, you're not. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hey, this is Ken Stringfellow.
And John Auer.
From the Posies, and you're listening to
KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, on 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio. The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!